Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler. He's in the booth today. 713-780-3776. We have got a nice show. It's a championship show. It's about the championship.
Well, and every day it's a championship show, really.
Well, this show is a champion every day, but that doesn't mean it's all about championships every day. We actually have, and it's so unbelievable, to go from the first overall pick to the Super Bowl in just 2 years. There was a tweet that came out and said, you know, the Rams have so much more. They have all of these defensive linemen, these superstars. They have got great, I mean, they've got great offensive weapons. And the counterpoint is a picture of Joe Burrow. That's the point. The counterpoint is Joe Burrow. And it really is amazing what he's done in two programs now, LSU and over at and with the Bengals now in such a short period of time. I don't know that it's as simple, and I don't know that dude just wins. He just wins. He wasn't great. You've talked about it. His, you know, all the attributes that he has and everything else. He just wins. He just knows how to win.
Well, and it's that weird position where quarterbacks, you can, you know, you do need to have a certain level of arm talent and arm strength, and there are the Josh Allens of the world. John Elway had these amazing physical attributes. Dan Marino did. Many of the all-time greats have had amazing many of the greats have had physical attributes. Josh Allen looks like he's headed in a certain direction. But, you know, there's also Joe Montana. There's also Tom Brady. There's also Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning did not have much of an arm. He did not have a big arm. There's Peyton Manning. There's Tom Brady. There is Joe Montana. But Montana and Brady are different in that, you know, Peyton would get a little bit of choppy, happy feet, but he could win with his mind before the snap. But there's a certain level of poise, calm, and cool to Brady and Joe Montana, which is why people, and I think mostly very begrudgingly, mention their names with Joe Burrow, because it's almost impossible to throw a comps like that out at a guy. But you see the same kind of, like, personality slash poise.
I see a lot of Montana in Burrow.
I do, too.
Yeah, I see a lot of Montana.
Brady's the most recent, but you're talking about, like, that's not even fair to throw. That's like throwing everybody on Jordan. But I do think it is fair with Joe Montana, because there's a lot of Joe Montana. He always feels like just the coolest guy in the room. You never get the sense that he gets rattled about anything. And you always have a sense that everyone around him is buoyed by his, in confidence, by just his confidence. Like, he lifts other people up. And Joe Burrow's timeline, which I want to go through a little bit later, is really one of the most astonishing timelines that I've ever seen from 2017 to 21. That's not a long... This is when I came back to this radio station, was 2017. This has not been a long time.
Yeah.
And what's happened from 17 to the 21 season and now obviously into 22 is pretty much unheard of, honestly, if you really want to go through it. So that's one thing that we want to get into today. Also, the actual game itself. And something very strange happened with Pat Mahomes throughout the year. This is a very unusual... This is almost like a It's almost like an episode of some show that you might see on Black Mirror, for example. You have the guy with everything, the Super Bowls, the 50 touchdowns.
Almost everything.
Well, I mean, he's got, Jackson and his fiance. But,
hey, there's a tweet of a picture of the two of them. When they lose, America wins. And, well, apparently, though, did you see that the people underneath her suite were begging her to douse them with champagne?
I didn't see that.
Yes.
I didn't
care. They were begging, please douse us with champagne again. Okay, whatever.
Again?
Yeah, like she did last game. They were
even
begging
after
her
the
yesterday.
Loss?
No, I think it was before. It was before that.
So here's what happened with Pat Mahomes. It feels like it's from Black Mirror. You have a guy who has 50 touchdowns in a year, MVP, Super Bowl win, feels like nothing can go wrong, highest paid quarterback. I don't know if he technically is anymore, but you never know. All this stuff, right? He's the undisputed best quarterback in pro football. Then literally every weaknesses check mark in the scouting report I put for him all pop up at the same time. Off platform throws for no reason, bad decision making, lack of confidence. He turns into a below average quarterback in the middle of the year. And it's how do you, like, you don't regress like that. You can go on a slump in baseball, but you typically do not slump in football once you're at a certain level. You're not going to turn, once you hit a certain level, you've leveled up. You've passed, you've added to your understanding of the sport, and you just get better in football. Pat Mahomes had a regression in the middle of the year like we've never seen for a great quarterback. And then the only thing you can compare it to is when Tom Brady lost Gronk, and he would all of a sudden, it just didn't look the same. Then Pat Mahomes starts to slowly get it back as the season wears on, well, primarily towards the end of the season. And then by the playoffs, Pat Mahomes kind of looks like the old Pat Mahomes again, right? Would you agree with that?
Oh, he looked great.
And in the first half,
looked
that
great.
Pat Mahomes, until he had the brain fart with 5 seconds to go in the half, something a low football IQ quarterback would do, which is something no one's ever said about Pat Mahomes. And he throws a swing pass with no timeouts to go that cannot get there and turns into no points instead of 3 points. It would have been 24-3. Instead, it stays 21-3 at half.
Pat 21-10.
21-10, yeah. 21-10, yeah. And then it was 21-3. Then Joe Burrow went down, scored on a dump off to Samaje Perine. It was a very innocuous pass that turns into a long touchdown. And instead of going 24-10 at half or 28-10, he makes a mistake where when you take that snap, you're throwing it in the end zone so that the most that happens is 3 seconds. I mean, snap, throw, fade. That's what that is. That's it. He brain farts. It's tackled. There's no points. And from that point forward,
he was awful.
He went back to that other Mahomes that we saw in the regular season. Somehow he whether it's a Freaky Friday situation where he became Schaub or who, but somehow he either Freaky Friday'd it or it was a Black Mirror episode where he lost all that swagger he had built back up. It instantly departed when he made that dumb throw at the end of the half. And it all fell apart in the second half. It completely fell apart for Pat Mahomes in the second half.
You see their drive charts in touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then it was awful.
Punt, punt,
interception.
Punt, interception.
Yeah. Field goal. I mean, it was awful. Awful. Yeah.
From one half to the next. Now, some of that's on clearly. The defense coordinator did a great job, and the players executed.
But
he played a ton of hero ball. Like, Pat Mahomes just couldn't stop trying to play hero ball.
So, are the Chiefs the Astros?
I mean, or the Braves?
Or the Astros.
Yeah.
I mean, for the last 5 years.
I just say Braves.
For the last.
Because the Braves had the longer run. No, you know what? It is the Astros. It's the same time frame.
It absolutely is the same time frame with great players
for the most part. The Astros
getting there
17.
Every year, and then
Chiefs started it in 18, although they had some success before Mahomes. But Mahomes stuff started in 18, and it's been the same. You expect them to be at the top; they're always there. They get to the postseason. they lose when they're favored.
Last year, they looked like the Chiefs looked like the Astros against the Braves, against Tampa. They really didn't have much of a chance. The Astros didn't have much of a chance against the Braves. There were some moments where you thought maybe, and that just didn't happen. They got their one title, and they've been to the championship game every other year.
And they're universally considered one of the best in the league all the time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's that the Chiefs and the Astros are on a collision course.
Very similar.
That's not bad. I mean, it's really not bad. Well, somebody, there was a story about Didi Gregorius, and it just got me thinking, holy crap, he's got 1 year, $15 million left on his deal. He was awful last year. We haven't even been talking about Philadelphia. If they get rid of Didi Gregorius, you know how they like to spend money. They're not afraid to go for it. Philadelphia could well be a spot for Carlos because they are very unhappy. And they told Didi Gregorius.
That's fine with me.
He's probably gone. Jackson Mahomes is not the reason that the Chiefs lost, but boy, oh boy, is it good not to have him around anymore. My goodness, that is awful. Why is Kay Adams wearing a Bengals? She's just jumping on board, isn't she?
Is she from Cincinnati?
I don't know. Is she from Cincinnati?
I don't know, but this is a unique phenomenon I was thinking of. Cincinnati's the feel-good. They're kind of the feel-good story of football. I don't find people that dislike them. You can't dislike them. They've been a relatively harmless organization the entire, basically their entire recent existence. They haven't really done anything. I find it hard to think that the Steelers or Ravens even find them to be, at least fans over the last 20 years find them to be, real rivals. I mean, Boomer Esiason Bengals, that was a long time ago. And Joe Burrow just kind of looks non-threatening. He doesn't look like a guy who'd steal your girlfriend. He doesn't have that dangerous look to him. He just like, oh, look at this kid smoking on a cigar. Oh, and he's so cute. He's trying to wear earrings today. Oh, he's pretending to have swagger stuff. And you just think, oh, this guy's non-threatening. And then all of a sudden,
he's a killer.
Tom Brady was holding lambs, and he looked non-threatening too.
Yep.
Tom Brady looked like a very non-threatening quarterback until he wasn't one. My point is, at some point, this lovable Joe Burrow and this lovable Bengals team, all of a sudden they're going to be, hey.
Screw them.
They're going to be like this lovable Astros were in night 17 and like 15 and 17. Like, hey, it's kind of a fun little team, isn't it? And all of a sudden, hey.
Sick of them.
I don't like them. Well, Joe Burrow could turn into, it could go from lovable Joe, just like, oh, non-threatening Joe, to, I don't like anymore.
Do we? Okay.
Because he's good.
When we come back, how bad is it to root? I like the Rams, but I can't root for an LA team. I mean,
can you root for a team who literally is just trying to buy it?
That's what they did. Well, but I mean,
ultimately, wherever your money is.
Okay, now that's another thing we got to talk about. Draft picks versus going to get really good players, because that's what they did. They just said, screw the draft.
They went all in, and they went and got Tunsil.
We're all in! I wish they would go and get Tunsil next.
I'm all in with Windows. I'm all in with Allstate, and it's really, frankly, a very easy decision when it comes to making sure that you've got what you need. And that's, listen, when you have bad weather, inclement weather, you better have the right windows. And if you don't, if you have those old aluminum windows, you're going to figure out that there is a problem there. These Allstate windows are made in Texas, and they are energy efficient, and they're built for Texas tough weather. Whether it's cold, whether it's the wind, whether it's the excessive heat, that's what they're built for. They're retrofitting your home so that you don't have that leakage. And that's why they're so energy efficient. They keep your home warm all winter long, and you're going to save on your electric bill. I have since the day I made the switch, and they do it right. The installation is clean. It is quick, and it is affordable. You can call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 for an appointment for your free window inspection. Get 25% off your windows, and for a limited time, you get no interest for up to 36 months when you mention ESPN. Invest in beautiful, quality windows. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. Remember, for the best rate, call Allstate Windows and Siding or go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Witt, and GMC.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 716 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We did blow the lead. Somebody tweeted last night, tweeted me, and I think, and you as well, and said, you guys do know what the lead is, right? You guys do know what the lead is today.
What is the lead?
Well, if Joe Burrow, in his second year, can take the Bengals to the Super Bowl, what says Davis Mills can't do the same in his second year?
Well, is there a Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, Nico Collins.
Rookie of the year? Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Nico Collins. Nico Chase.
Yeah, that's right.
I well, gotcha.
At least Nico didn't, you know.
Who's our T. Higgins?
Out. Of his year.
He actually did. Nico was an opt-out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nico was a full-on opt-out. Well, and maybe that's good.
That's right. Oh, look at... Oh,
maybe
you got
good.
A second-year quarterback with yep. an opt-out guy? Mm-hmm. An opt-out wide receiver? Done.
What about R.T. Higgins?
R.T. Higgins?
Oh, is Nico Collins?
No, it was Brandon Cooks.
No, R.T. We got to have a big guy. Who's our Tyler Boyd?
We don't know. We got Brandon Cooks, even better than those two.
Who's
which
our
is
Tyler
even
Boyd?
Better. Okay, we're more talented than them.
Okay, who is our Joe Mixon?
Are you kidding?
No.
That's a tougher one.
I don't think we have one on the roster.
We've already re-signed Rex Burkhead.
Do we have a running back on the roster?
Rex Burkhead, we signed him. To, okay. Do you remember? Yeah. Oh, you don't know. Oh, you don't even
see,
need
that's the difference. This is where you can make it. This is a pretty unrealistic jump. I mean, Dan Orlovsky was talking about it before us. The thing that makes this so what, besides the fact that you go from worst to first in 2 years, that's already highly unusual. But what's even more unusual, realistically, is that you just pretty much never do it with an offensive line that's this porous.
They've got Quentin
Spain, who is just, to me, not good. Jackson Carmen at right guard, who I thought was like, ugh. Jonah Williams, a guy with 32-inch arms on the left side, which... Most teams won't even mess with a guy that has that short of arms. It's a team of mismatched parts. It really is.
Listen, the line is already, right?
I think it's 3.5.
3.5, 49 and a half. I don't know what 5-star is going to come up with because 5-star was dead on again with both of his picks.
He won again. 5-star is if you're not listening on Thursdays,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't help you this week because there's no games, but you should follow him on Twitter at 5-star in Vegas. He also will do some basketball stuff. He has murdered with underdogs, and that's the difference. The guys who do it professionally are unafraid of taking points.
Right.
Unafraid. Well, they look at it as, I'm winning as soon as the game starts.
He's been on San Francisco this entire postseason. He's been on Cincinnati this entire postseason.
That number was 3.5. It didn't move.
It didn't move.
It didn't move, and the hook got you. You knew it would get you. If you didn't buy it down, the hook got you if you laid it. And if you took it, there you were. Let's get to that game. Once again, we saw that you can't win at the highest levels with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not saying it's all on him. It's not all on him.
Tart, if Tart catches that ball, you know what we're saying? That's all Jimmy does is win.
Yeah, probably. Well, that narrative gets to continue to live because Jimmy really didn't do anything in a second half.
And then you know what we'd be saying? Oh, look at that terrible throw by Matthew Stafford. He can't win.
Here's the difference. Yeah, that's how easily these
narratives. That's what changes.
It's
the
true.
Whole thing changes.
But ready? Joe Burrow. Stud. Dumped down to Pirine. Touchdown.
Well, that was a screen. It wasn't really a dump down. It was a screen.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Screen.
Screen
to Samuel.
To touchdown. Debo. Touchdown. Yep. One of them is cool. One of them sucks.
Well, yeah. Well, the one.
You know what I mean? It is kind of your perspective on it because one guy won. But Jimmy Garoppolo does not have that. Like when there was a minute whatever left, if Joe Burrow had the ball, you would have thought, man. Let's see if Joe's got this in him to keep this upward trajectory. With Jimmy, I immediately thought, game's over.
His last two drives?
Oh, terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
His whole fourth quarter was terrible.
Kyle Shanahan said he didn't even consider going for it on fourth and two.
No.
I don't know about that.
That's, for me, a little surprising.
He gave them the ball back. And they came, went down, scored the game.
Well, he didn't
want
to give it back to him in that position, but I just feel like anytime Debo Samuel's on the field, I thought that would have been a perfect time. When I saw him lined up and Debo in the backfield, and then they, you know, just let it run out, I thought what we were going to see was some type of play act. No, Debo was in the backfield like a running back. All of the attention's on 19. To me, that's when you run a little play action. Fourth and two, you run a basic little play action, and you run off Juszczyk into the flat, right, and you got a tight end. Yeah. An old school, you know, tight end play action, because everyone's focused on Debo Samuel. That was one where if you wanted to win the game, you needed to get it. But Jaquaski Tartt's interception drop will live with him and 49er fans for all of eternity.
Yep.
It will never go. It's going to be the drop. There's no getting away from it.
No, no question. Who was the
game's over if he gets?
Who was
that,
University of Texas defensive back that dropped the Texas Tech?
Oh, white guy, safety.
Yeah, he's a coach now.
He's a coach now. Yeah,
yeah.
I see. It lives in infamy.
Do you see
white guy safety?
White guy safety dropping. Well, I don't think Jaquaski
Tunstlinger.
No, I don't think Jaquaski is a white safety, but okay.
Jaquaski Tartt is not. He is a San Francisco 49er safety.
Yeah. No.
He's not. First year of my draft stuff in 2015.
So. Not a white safety, I don't think. I'm pretty sure.
What was that little white safety?
7378037776. You guys got some thoughts on this? Don't forget, in about 20 minutes from now, we'll be doing What'd You Learn This Weekend in one sentence. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? Who was it? Yeah.
Blake Gideon. Lamont is right. Listen.
What did these two virgins say?
Calls
us.
No, I know he calls us that.
No.
No, he said, not everyone can beat the Bengals like the Texans can in the playoffs. It's true. You need a big boy organization like the Texans to take care of business against the Bengals. Who knew that the Bengals' kryptonite was the Texans? I didn't. I didn't know that we were their kryptonite.
Joe Burrow reminds me of this era's Joe Namath, but with more talent. Cool, calm, collected, and the ladies love his demeanor. Hey, that dude is some... I was thinking about this. Like, Frankie was there at LSU with him. They were both seniors together. And if everywhere he goes now, the first thing, oh my God, it's Joe Burrow. His first name is basically, oh my God, it's Joe Burrow. Because everywhere Joe Burrow goes, it's this kid is gone. Has anybody branded themselves in the last 4 years? You were talking about this, where he came from. Mm-hmm. He was a good quarterback that got them to a New Year's Day bowl game against Central Florida.
16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions for the year.
He was a good quarterback.
He
was a good quarterback. And got them to a New Year's Day bowl game. They were basically a running team. They pitched and ran up the middle. It was Les Miles, and that's what Les Miles do, right? And that was Coach O.
Yeah, it was
Coach O. But they were still just a running football team. That's all they were going to do, and blah blah blah. Until he got laid out against Central Florida. He took it. If you've never seen the hit that he took against Central Florida, he was waylaid. One of the worst football hits you'll ever see. He got up. And, man, ever since then, his life has changed. I don't know if that knocked the snot. I don't know what it did to Joe Burrow, but he has been an unbelievable guy ever since. Ever since he's been a winner. You can count the number of losses in three years on two hands. In 3 years, because he lost none at LSU, and then he lost a couple and got hurt.
This is crazy. You ready
for
this?
And then lost a few this year, too.
See, Joe wasn't really a good quarterback for most of that year. And I wanted to make sure my memory is right. Joe had, in the first 9 games, Joe Burrow had 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. In 9 games, less than a touchdown a game. He had 3 against Ole Miss. He had 2 against Southeastern Louisiana. He had 1 against,
you're gonna have that
1 against Auburn. He had 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive games where he didn't have a touchdown passing and had 4 interceptions against Georgia, a win, Mississippi State, a win, Alabama, a loss, and Florida, a loss. And then the last 4 games, 1 touchdown, no interception against Arkansas. Okay, Rice, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. A&M, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It was the A&M game where everything changed for him. Remember the crazy 7 overtime game or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Joe had 3 touchdowns in that game. Then against Central Florida, he had 4 touchdowns. Or maybe Rice. Maybe Rice kicked that off.
Rice.
But let's just say it was A&M. The A&M, so he ended up having 9 touchdowns and 1 interception over his last 3 games. His first 9 games, he was 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. The Rice game, he goes 2-0. A&M, he goes 3-0. I think that A&M game made him believe in himself.
It might be.
How else can you explain it? Because he did have the 4. He did get his head almost knocked completely off of his, severed from his body against Central Florida. But even before that, he had the 3 touchdowns and 270 yards. He had 300 yards passing against Rice, was his first at LSU. He had 394 against Central Florida. And it was a wrap. Ever since the A&M game, 270 with 3 touchdowns. After that, he had 394 and 4 touchdowns. That bowl game was the very first year of the 2019 season. So from 2019 on.
The year, calendar year.
It's like, I don't even know this guy anymore. Who tears their ACL their rookie year and then comes back and gets to the Super Bowl the next year? Like, the whole thing is almost unheard of.
Yep.
This whole thing is almost unheard of.
That's something we're going to have to break down, because that defensive line, that defensive front by the Rams versus this offensive line, it is one of the biggest mismatches, I think.
It's Tom Brady that we've seen. Tampa. Because with that, without Tristan Wirfs and the stuff that they were, it's the same kind of situation. And that's GOAT, and this is young Montana. I mean, it's going to be a hard matchup.
It's going to be a really hard matchup. 728 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Did you see the guys?
But you know what? Don't sleep on the pass rush of the Bengals.
No, you can't. They got some guys. No. Hendrickson's been banged up, though. He's been going in and out of the game. That's a little bit worrisome. So let's talk about this. Did you guys see the bets that the guys made where you picked the perfect score
for
both teams?
That's incredible.
And they picked both scores for both games and won $592,000. How about that? Well, I don't know that you can win $592,000. I don't know that my bookie offers that per se, but I will say this. They're offering everything else. Holy crap. If you want to bet on the big game, the big game is coming. The big game is here, just 2 weeks away. You've got all kinds of odds. When you're watching the game, in-game, live betting, what you want to do for this game, how much fun you want to have, what you want on it. You can't just watch the game without putting something on it. You just can't. It's impossible. What you got to do is go to mybookie.ag and bet and win and get paid. It's so much more fun when you got something, a little something, something on it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. If you want to put a little something, something on it, go to mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. The best place to win, get paid, and all of the prop bets you could possibly want, mybookie.ag.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 7:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, just about 14 minutes away from what you learned this weekend in one sentence. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I'll tell you one thing that I learned this weekend, and I'm not playing the game yet. The game hasn't started yet. We had Bobby call in and wanted to play the game. It's Bobby. It starts at 7:45 on Monday, okay? You can't jump start the game.
Oh, Bobby.
Bobby, come on. I learned this weekend that how unbelievable is it that these guys, okay, so for $20, they threw down $20, and the bet was a 2-leg parlay. They had to pick the exact score from both games.
Yeah, you're basically on the hop. It's like on the crap table where you call out your number. All right.
Well, this is 24. Like calling out. No,
only it's way harder.
This is like calling out
lottery.
Your craps number 12 times in a row.
Well, you're calling lottery numbers. You're calling your lottery numbers. You're calling. Okay, I got 20 San Francisco. I got 20 Rams and 17 San Francisco. They predicted correct scores. Not just correct score. It has to be, I think, for the teams, right?
Perfect. Like both teams. Yes. No.
Yeah, it has to be so, winning team correct.
It has to be. They picked Bengals 27, Chiefs 24, Rams 20, 49ers 17. It was plus 22,000 for the Bengals and plus 13,000. The parlay for $20 netted them $579,000. $507,000, that's the odds of them picking those two scores. Well, and not just those two scores, because the Chiefs were such a big favorite that the Bengals would win and you picked the exact score. It has to be more than 22,000 to one.
Well, but that's all they'll give you. They're not giving you true odds.
No.
When does the Vegas? When does the books ever give you true odds?
It's 220 to 1. 220 to 1. While the Rams 49 or 17 right. was 130 to 1.
But then when you multiply the two,
when you parlay it, it was
a parlay.
The parlay
turns into 2.5 million.
Right.
And then another guy had the same ticket, but he had Chiefs winning. He had the same exact scores: Chiefs winning and Niners winning, and those odds were like 1.7 million. So if you
for $100,
right. Yeah. Well, this is a $20 bet that paid $5. You want to talk about hitting the lottery?
He hit it like that's real. He for real hit our $500,000. Somebody immediately comes in. Well, actually, the government's going to take. Okay, well, actually, Twitter, let us just have our own betting thing. Our own gambling
store
here. Oh, well,
yeah, the government's taking
half
up.
Well, actually, it was what I find is that the government doesn't understand how to spend our money. So from a taxable standpoint, well, actually, Twitter, with two followers, I mean, you follow two people and have zero, and you're just clearly a troll account. Can you stay out of this string? We're trying to have a gambling discussion here. Like, man, how amazing would that be?
Well,
can you imagine hitting that and trying to keep that from your wife?
Oh, wait, how? What? No, you can't keep it.
Oh, I thought that's what you do.
No, you... You're going to keep 507.
I thought that was a different conversation. You definitely.
Well, listen, she's going to find out when the tax bill comes, and she's going to go, "Hey,
I'm just kidding."
How come we're paying? How come we're paying $240,000 in taxes here? What's this about?
Don't they take it right up front?
I think they take it up front. Yeah, I think they take it right.
Wouldn't that be the best thing in the world if the government took $240,000 from me? Because something good happened.
Oh yeah, something really.
Somebody just took $240,000 from me. How did they do that? You don't have that much money. Well, something good happened.
Something really good.
I hope I have to pay that much in taxes one time a single event.
Yeah.
Because that means daddy did something really good.
Oh, no, I'd love to pay those taxes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I wouldn't like it if I had to do it multiple years because I'd get to say, this tax structure is baloney. But if it's just one time, one single day happened where all of a sudden the government goes, hey, Lance, we understand that something happened yesterday that necessitates us taking $200,000 from you. That means something really good happened.
Yep. All right, so we've been talking about Joe Burrow. Here's Joe. Here's Joe talking about going. I mean, he said it before the game. This past week, he said, can we stop with the, oh, my God, the Bengals? We're a good football team. And now he's saying it again. We're a pretty good football team.
How did the team and the franchise turn around from last place in the AFC North last season to this year making it to the Super Bowl?
You know, I think it's, that's a tough question because, you know, you don't really think about it that way. You just think about it as, you know, going into an off season and, you know, working really hard for potential opportunities. And this is, you know, what you work so hard for. You know, we didn't go into the offseason saying, hey, we got to have a great offseason to make it to the Super Bowl next year. I think everyone just went into it and said, I have to get better as a player so we can be better as a team.
And they are. And it's a good question because I don't know. How often has that happened in NFL history? Number one overall pick to the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Well, I need to look at my notes from that the NFL sends us because I can't
imagine
that.
Unless you got a pick, unless you made a trade with a team to get their number one overall pick, I don't imagine it's happened all that much. Now, we have seen plenty division flip-flops. There was a time when the NFC South, and I don't know if it was called the NFC South then, maybe it was, where the fourth place team won the division the following year. It happened, I think, like, they had a different division winner in the NFC South where Tampa won it, Carolina won it, New Orleans won it, Atlanta won it. They just kept on switching who would win the division, and even the fourth place team went from last to first in the division. But to go from last in the league to the Super Bowl in 2 years is unbelievable. Unbelievable that this has happened to this Bengals team. I feel good about it. Now, can you root? I mean,
okay. So
if you're a Houstonian, can you honestly root for the Rams in this game?
Only if you have money.
If you're,
well, why?
Because
we don't have anything. We don't have anything.
We hate LA.
We have no history with the Rams, though.
No, we don't have any history with the Rams, but LA we do.
Houston has some history with the Bengals in general.
Yeah, we beat their ass
for several decades. Not back in the day. It was really bad for the Oilers. Bengals were kind of a heckler back in the day, but that's going way back to the Oilers.
Yeah, so. But it was Oilers, Steelers, Oilers. Yeah,
I think a lot of teams. Here's my problem with it. The Rams do things the way that I don't like. I'm not a guy who is. So the Rams, you know, could have easily been if the Rams also did this whole, you know, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, they've been doing this and they kind of look stuck for a while. This is their second all in. They went all in and they didn't get there. Actually, they got there with Jared Goff a couple years ago, and then they all ended with Jalen Ramsey and the move there, and with several moves actually. And then this is the next wave of it with Matthew Stafford. I mean, they're going to be completely empty, the Rams. They need to win it this year. They were willing to sell their future for a Super Bowl, and they're here.
So
I mean, they got here, but I don't like when you do it that way.
Okay, you don't like it.
I like the way
you know
Bengals.
You know what Les Snead is saying? Great, I'm going to the Super Bowl. You ain't.
No, that's fine, but guess who is? The Bengals, and they did it a different way. They actually had patience in their coach because every other organization would have let the fans decide that Zach Taylor had to go because he was terrible. The reality is Zach Taylor was never the wrong guy for it. He didn't have enough help.
Joe. They were playing pretty well before Joe got hurt.
Zach's always had the right personality, but I think.
Zach's only been there a couple of years.
But people wanted him gone.
Well, correct.
You have to. Come on. The Bengals are also cheap, so they're not gonna just cut a guy loose prematurely because the fans say so. That's never gonna happen. But they stuck that out. They built it through T. Higgins drafted, Joe Mixon drafted. All these guys are drafted. They don't go all in.
They picked up DJ Reader.
Yeah, they added. That was a smart move.
Eli
DJ
Apple.
Reader was a smart move. Eli Apple was okay. Trey Hendrickson, really good move from the Saints. You know, they spent smart free agency money. They did a good job of drafting core players, and here you are. And they happen to get it right on quarterback.
Except their offensive line.
Yeah, and that's
it.
But you
can
build
an anomaly for this team to be
it
here.
Is, truly.
With this offensive line. This may be the worst offensive line that we've seen.
But here's the thing.
Win.
You can rebuild it next year. You could literally spend some free agent money next year, and you can make two draft picks that could compete away at left guard
and then
right tackle.
Then they're three linemen away after they take two. They're three linemen away.
With Joe Burrow, that's the thing, though. With Joe Burrow, I don't think you have to have, just like with Tom Brady, you don't have to have the best offensive lines. You have a guy who gets rid of it and who's smart. Although Joe takes plenty of sacks, don't get me wrong. But
he took the most in the league.
To me.
But did you see him escape too late yesterday?
So one of the guys is a first-year guy, Jackson Carman. They're right. Guard's a rookie. You know, I think Jonah Williams is only his second year because he was hurt his rookie year at left tackle. I think Jonah moves inside. I think you go draft a tackle. You go draft
you
a couple tackles.
Or you picked up Laramie Tunsil.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to give up your late first-round pick for Laramie Tunsil. I don't think that's the worst move in the world if I'm Cincinnati moving forward.
No.
I really don't. I mean, I think it gives you instant upgrade and help unless you think Laramie Tunsil can't stay healthy. But I'm just a fan of how the Bengals built it because they're built for sustained success. The Rams are built for, like the Marlins were, flash success. And then when it goes, it goes.
Well, I don't know. Stafford could be around for a while.
Maybe.
They drafted Aaron Donald.
But they're
going to
be in cap.
You know,
Have you looked at the cap stuff?
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, Floyd Miller,
Ramsey.
Yeah.
Odell. And Odell. You can't make it work cap-wise.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. And when you build it. I mean, really, the Bengals were built like the Astros. When you build, you have a longer run, and then eventually you have to make choices and tough decisions.
Andrew Whitworth, listen, when Andrew Whitworth was available, it was like, he's been there how long now winning for this is his second Super Bowl with this team.
He's starting to break down a little bit, though. They're going to have to get a left
tackle. They've got to.
He's
old. But what a great pickup that
unbelievable
was.
Unbelievable run for him.
All right, 7137. Oh, listen, here we go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. You only get one sentence. What did you learn this weekend? And it doesn't have to be sports. It could be you at a strip club, and that happens. I mean, we get one of those calls a week somehow for some reason. I don't know why. It's usually about a strip. Whatever it's about. Maybe you learned something about, I don't know, food. Maybe you learned how to make a brisket this weekend, and you can tell Lance how to make a brisket. Whatever the case may be, 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn about your patio this weekend?
Well, I learned about my patio that my kids will go out there in a moment's notice when they've got a pizza and go out and watch. They love watching their Netflix or YouTube on the patio. I like watching games out there. If you go to tcplance.com, you can see the before and after on Texas Custom Patios, what my patio looked like before and what it looks like after the process was done. It's pretty much what happens with everyone. They're always blown away. The people at Texas Custom Patios, the way that they design your patio, they show it to you in the renderings, which are incredibly realistic. They work with you on the price and the structure of how it's going to go. They can get it financed for you. What you're doing is getting your dream home. You're building your dream home. You may have a house you like, but it turns into a home when you've got an outdoor living space, and especially an outdoor living space with a kitchen in it. Oh my gosh, fire pit, fireplace, they can make it a reality for you. And all that money you put in is going to come right back to you if you ever decide to sell your home, besides the fact it's going to really increase your quality of life. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website, tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is the segment of the show. Every week we do it. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I'll do mine later. Tyler, do you have one? Did you learn anything this weekend?
No, I don't Nothing. Have one. Ready. No.
This morning thing has really got you off your game, doesn't it?
To be honest, I didn't know this was a segment that y'all did. Well, I did kind of, but I forgot. Let's say
no, that. But you're just your game is off anyway this morning. Yeah, is this waking up early thing a little difficult for you?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get everybody in here, and when somebody gets off, you get on. 713-780-3776. We got a full board right now. So Gary is first up. Gary, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Good morning, gentlemen. I learned I have COVID. Oh. I'm quite excited.
Damn it.
Sometimes you do.
Best of luck, Gary. Get through it, buddy.
You do learn that sometimes.
You do learn that sometimes. And if you learn you got COVID, you know what? Take care of yourself. Stay in bed. Stay home. Don't spread it around. Mike is here. Mike, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
What I learned just kind of this weekend and last weekend in the playoffs, kickers are just as important as quarterbacks.
Kickers are just as important as quarterbacks. You know what? Our friend Thomas McGay, he might agree.
Yeah.
Kickers Except are, that's not really the truth, but okay.
Kickers are pretty important, but
they're not as important as quarterbacks.
No, but all the kickers did their jobs.
Yep.
Am I missing something?
No. Yeah. And by the way,
although Evan
I'd love to have McPherson.
By the way, I said this on Twitter. It's pretty rare to see a kicker quarterback swagger combo. That's some. I guess you got Lamar Jackson and Justin Tucker, and now you got Burrow and McPherson.
Yeah.
The story he told about when McPherson goes,
yeah. We're going to the AFC Championship.
Yeah. Hmm? He goes, you know what time it is? Looks or whatever he said. Right. I can't remember what the comment was, but
time to go to the AFC Championship.
He made some comment like, wow, I would be puckered. I can't believe you're this confident.
I know. Ain't scared. He ain't scared, at least. Jake, what'd you learn this weekend?
Hey, what's up, guys? I learned that I've been getting cheated on by my wife for the past 12 years.
That what?
You learned what?
What did he say, Tyler?
He's been getting cheated on by his wife for the last 12 years.
Bro, years. That's one of those things where I wanted to break
you
the rules.
You learned that this weekend, Jake?
I wanted to break the rules of the game and find out more. Because we could have called her and set some things straight if we needed
to.
Yeah,
if you want us to call her,
if you
want to
call
we
back
will.
In, and we'll call her and get this thing.
Yeah, we'll do it later in the show if you want
to. Okay, we'll flesh some things out.
713-780-3776. Brad.
Man, that's a tough.
Ocho. Ocho's
well, here's next. What people have learned so far. They have COVID, and their wife's been cheating on them for over a decade.
Whoa. That's a
goodness,
rough weekend.
That's a bad weekend.
Yeah. Oh, and also,
thank God you didn't get COVID and,
also,
and you learned
quarterbacks
this.
Are more important than kickers.
Yeah, that's not so much. Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that some players can learn Hakeem Olajuwon's footwork, but not his instincts and counter moves.
Hmm. Alperen Şengün, I think he might be referring to.
Mm-hmm.
He's been working. He's working with the Dream.
Did you see the video?
Give the kid some time.
Did you see the video though? No. Oh my God, it's so exciting watching Dream talk to Şengün, and yeah. Şengün has a couple spin moves. You're like, whoa! I got a little excited just on a couple spin moves, and I remembered. Oh, that's right. Nobody posts up anymore.
Well. But Şengün's like 12 years old. Can we wait a little bit before we give up on him?
That he's not the Dream? Wood, I think Christian Wood's getting dealt. I don't think Eric Gordon is. Christian Wood, though, I think is going to get dealt. And when that happens,
bah.
Here comes the playing time for Şengün.
Yep. Who's next? Brent, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that Mecole Hardman is an actor or a soccer player in the offseason, or maybe both. I'm not sure.
How about that, the way he flew? When he got hit, he just flew out of there. Whoa! And oh, by the way, Mecole Hardman ain't Tyreek Hill because they tried to run those same plays with Mecole Hardman. He's good, but man, it's a different deal when Tyreek Hill's running them plays.
Right. Yeah.
It is a different deal.
It's a way different deal.
It's a way different deal. Brad is here. What'd you say, Brad?
I learned that if you lose the coin toss in a playoff football game, it's not the end of the world like everybody made it out to be.
Okay. Well, you're right. All you got to do is pick them off. That was an unbelievable pickoff by Bell.
Jesse Bates. It was unbelievable by Bates to get his hand.
But, man, the reaction to catch that ball.
But for Bates, I mean, it was when you slow it down, because Tyreek was going to grab it. He's going to jump up and grab it. And for Jesse Bates to get his hands right, they hit the ball almost simultaneously to pop it forward into Bell's arms. What an unbelievable play. But what would have happened, and that's easy to say that now, but what would have happened if Kansas City goes to a Super Bowl because they win two straight overtime coin tosses and go the distance? Oh,
then it would have changed. The rule would have changed.
Yeah.
The rule would have changed.
It would have been, there would have been massive amounts of outrage.
713-780-3776. Phil, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
That no one will ever do what Marv Levy and Jim Kelly did with the Bills back in the early 90s.
That who will never do what the Bills did?
With Jim Kelly back in the early 90s?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hear it the first
time. I didn't understand what.
I didn't.
Something with an M? Mara? I don't know.
Okay.
Marv Levy?
What? No. What,
he wasn't
what
talking
Marv
about
Levy
Marv?
Did.
Well, I thought he said Marv, but that would be Marv Levy.
Yeah, what Marv did with the Bills and Jim Kelly. I don't know what he said. Greg, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, we got a lot of talk on the Super Bowl, but I learned that the Texans are going to the Bachelor Bowl.
To the Bachelor Bowl.
Yeah. I think that's something that's coming up on coming up on Super Bowl weekend.
Bachelor Bowl?
I think that's what it is. Because there were commercials
I don't know what it is.
You better ask Wendy. Because she'll know.
Deshaun is still a bachelor, right? And is eligible bachelor.
The Bachelor Bowl is.
It's like with the show, like Jesse Palmer.
Yeah.
Is
so they did this
like
in 2020 also. They have a football game or whatever. I'm looking at some of it. This is, I think, something that's going on in the Super Bowl because I saw commercials. It was like where this whole house is completely destroyed. And they basically reference, they're foreshadowing something that's coming up for Super Bowl weekend. I'll bet that's what it
Maybe.
Is.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know what that is, but the Texans are going. I'm watching. Damn it.
And Deshaun's not going. Deshaun's not a bachelor.
He's a bachelor.
He's a monogamous man who's locked in with his girlfriend.
He's engaged, right?
Yeah.
He's got a fiance, right? Is she his fiance?
I don't think she's fiance.
Oh, she's just a girlfriend? Oh, well, then he's absolutely a bachelor.
No,
what are you
he's not.
Talking about?
What are you talking about? Did you see the birthday?
Well,
That's a sign of a committed man.
I know Deshaun would never do anything to hurt a relationship.
With a person or a team.
None of it. None of it. Jason, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that John and Wendy are Washington, D.C. elite. And they're no longer to be trusted.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I saw those weirdo pictures of
you. Man, I got some weirdo stories for you, bro. But we're not Washington. We went there for the weekend. That was it. It was Mardi Gras, okay? I married a Cajun girl.
So anyone could go?
Yeah. No. Well, no.
Elite.
No.
Did you have to wear a tuxedo?
No. Yeah, twice.
Elite.
Ben is up next. What say, Ben?
Hey, I learned that if I decide with Vegas, by fading the public, you make a lot of money.
Yep, you make a lot of money. It's absolutely true. You make a lot of. Why do you think all of that marble and gold is in Vegas? Because of a lot of smart bettors? No, there's no such thing. Will, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
If U.S. men's soccer doesn't wake up, they're going to miss out on the World Cup again.
Wake up. Wake up, U.S. soccer. I don't know what happened. I know Pulisic isn't happy with his current team. I know that. But I don't know what's been going on with World Cup qualifying. We need to step it up.
I got to check. I've been knee-deep in draft, but I know they had an injury, but I got to check. I mean, they cannot not make the World Cup again.
Okay, so the guy said that nobody will ever do what Marv Levy and Jim Kelly did back in the day, basically go to 4 Super Bowls in a row. No, or lose 4 Super Bowls in a row. Probably not. That won't happen either.
Yeah, Canada beat the U.S. yesterday.
They
2-0.
2-0.
To Canada.
Well, wake up, U.S.
A guy named Kyle scored on him, C-Y-L-E, from Canada. That's not a thing.
That's not even how Kyle's you spell
not
Kyle.
C-Y-L-E.
That's not even how you spell Kyle. So that's ridiculous that we lost to Canada in anything. Even hockey, that's ridiculous.
That is.
Peter, what do you got? Okay, Peter, what'd you learn this weekend?
Maybe Eric Bieniemy isn't the offensive genius we all thought.
Okay, all right. Well, not in the second half, he wasn't.
He was a genius in the first half. But this is
Eric Bieniemy. But then he lost his genius
Eric
status.
Eric Bieniemy's finding out the same thing that everyone else finds out when that Tim Kelly found out whenever he had Deshaun Watson. When the quarterback is good, when the quarterback plays well, that guy's elite.
Yeah.
When a quarterback plays poorly, you are a bad play caller.
You're a terrible play caller.
You are a bad offensive coordinator and play caller.
All right. Tyler, what'd you learn this weekend?
I forgot I did learn something.
What'd you learn?
It's never a good idea to have your halftime announcers trying to do a halftime show and analyze the game while some guy is singing about Applebee's directly behind you with a 5x10 speaker pointed directly at you.
So it was, he's talking about the Bengals and Chiefs. They had this enormous, was it Bengals and Chiefs?
Yeah, it was Bengals. Yeah, it was the first game.
There's an enormous set of speakers behind the halftime crew in the most ill-advised logistical setup in the history of broadcasting. And it
the
was,
PA announcer came on. He announced them while JB is trying to like
JB even
get into
referenced it later. Like
Boomer
yeah.
is just like, "What are we doing?"
Boomer lost and his voice cheering for the Bengals.
Phil Sims got mad about it. He's like, "Well, if I even knew what you were saying and I could hear you, I could probably tell you. But I'm probably going to repeat a lot of stuff that you said. But whatever."
That is, I didn't see the halftime show. That is funny.
I didn't hear anything you just said.
All right, 7:58. Good job again, people. You did a great job. That is the segment sweeping the nation right now. Is what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I'll tell you mine on the other side right here. It was interesting. What I want to talk about now is and listen. I mean, it is amazing. It really is amazing how it changes your life when you have hair. And I swear everybody, I saw family that I hadn't seen, my father-in-law and his person. And she said, "Man, your hair, John, it is just unbelievable." And I was like, "Yeah, thank you, Sandra. You're right. You're right about that." And you know why it's that way? It's because of Doc Linville. It's what Doc Linville did for me. And I'm thinking about it now, and it's going on a few years that I got my hair done. It basically takes about 4 hours, and then it has to grow in. It has to take, and that takes about 8 months. And then after that, you're like, wow. And it's hair that doesn't fall out because it comes from the side. You notice that you never lose your side hair. You know that bowl thing that bald guys have. Well, they don't lose their side hair. Well, you put that up on top, and guess what's going to happen? You're not going to lose that either. all you got to do is go to Doc Linville and change your life. I'm serious. It really, really is a life changer. So if you're sick of not having hair, go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.